Start recording. We are expecting around 14 people. They said they were coming. And I'm not sure we've met Amaris before, have we?
Yes.
Oh, you have, where are you calling in from?
Jewish Community Services.
Oh, in Florida, in Miami?
In Baltimore, Maryland.
Oh, in Baltimore. Okay, sorry.
I work with Darlene Wolf.
Oh, okie dokie. And Darlene's on the call. I see you. Okay. So it looks like it might be a small group. If everyone can just change their name to reflect their community as well, that would be good. Just right click on your box. And I want to thank Jeff, Lev, your fearless leader and chair, for coming up with all the topics.
It's not that hard to be fearless when it's only five people, you know?
Well, I write him like a week before. I said, what do we want to talk about? And he just rattles off all sorts of different ideas. So if any of you also have ideas, you know where to find us, because we want this to benefit you. So with that being said, Jeff, take it away. We want to figure out how we can get this group advertised to all of the agencies. And that was what
right. So if people came in, so again, I'm Jeff Lab. I'm the COO of JFS in Detroit. People may have heard some early chit chat about like, how do we grow our membership? So it feels to me like if there are 140 agencies in the network, there are 140 agencies who need to hire and fire and compensate and assess and blah, 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 all the stuff that HR people do. So I kind of don't see any reason that our distribution list shouldn't grow to that 140. And I understand that people won't go to all the meetings, but I want at least every organization to see, oh, they're talking about whatever they're talking about in a month. Is that something I'm interested in or not? And I'd love us to figure out a way. I don't know if it's through a survey, but like, are people not aware of this group? Do they not care about it? Do they find the content to be not compelling, so they skip it, et cetera? And I was saying that maybe we can learn from the IT affinity group, maybe, because I view HR and IT as sort of back office functions that enable the service provision, but we're kind of not as exciting as the service provision affinity groups. And do we have one for accounting and finance, Lisa?
Not yet, but it's on my list. I have around
like to me, that just so clearly is one that we should have.
Yep. So that's on the list to start. And the IT group probably has around 30 agencies as well.
Right, which based on what I know about our agency and a handful of others, like I'm confident many others could benefit from some knowledge sharing.
Right. So we are sending out an end of the year survey, but that's just to the people who have participated in community groups. So any information, you know, send it back, let us know your thoughts so we can make sure that more people get involved and we're doing what you want. And Elisa,
so given the time on the calendar, I thought maybe performance reviews and compensation could be an interesting topic, but I'm definitely not married to it. If people have other things they want to talk about, happy to pivot. The other thing that Lisa and I talked a little bit about was there, and help me if I get this wrong, Lisa, there was a request from the, was it Holocaust Survivors Services Affinity Group or Older Adult Services?
Uh-huh. Professionals.
Right. And they were asking for some help with leadership training and help in identifying resources for that. So if we know of any organizations that have consulted us, I'm sure the Affinity Group for Older Adult Services would appreciate that referral.
You can put it in the chat. And I just want to go to, and we're going to start in a second, but to get to your point, Jeff, Elisa Hirsch is from the network. Many of you know her. She's our operations manager. She said to me today, you know, I'm doing HR for, you know, I think I should be going to that. You know, I said, you're
That's
right.
Great.
You should. So
yeah. I agree. Like not every agency has a chief anything or a director of HR, but I would imagine even the smallest of agencies has to figure out what to do about its people, even if that means subcontracting it out. I would like us to have more agencies represented.
Yes.
Actually, Jeff, that's very applicable to us because we're a very small agency and I'm the executive director and I am the HR person. So great. Definitely need to wear lots of hats. Right.
As do we all. And I think in some ways it makes it even more important because if you're an agency that has the resources to have a dedicated I say resources and need to have a dedicated HR director, that expertise is probably more robust than if you're an executive director doing 56 other things.
Yeah.
So I'm not hearing anybody say they don't want to talk about reviews and compensation.
What do you want to talk about? Let's talk about it. Let's start with that. Somebody.
So Lee from Minneapolis. I'm in the chief operating officer role, significant HR background. We have an HR manager who was going to be on the call instead of me, but she had other things she needed to do and we wanted to participate. Happy to talk about those two topics if it's helpful, but also I think something weighing more and more heavily on us is we've always put a priority on engagement of staff. And just this morning at our all staff meeting, I notified the staff that we will be working mostly from home as we have been through at least April 30th. And once you've crossed the 1 year threshold, which for us was March 17th, it just really, the weight of that feeling of being physically apart for the most part for over a year and having more and more new staff who will have come on board and met no one in person, and how to keep people engaged and connected feels like it's weighing more and more heavily on all of us. And that certainly is an HR related kind of a topic.
So was there an answer?
No, people can respond. Do you want to respond to it?
Well, I'm just wondering what he said. Is there something you're doing to engage the staff?
Well, we're trying a lot of things. And one of the things that we're trying to do to figure out how to do it is, and I know we've talked about this in this group before, but we have generally participated in Leading Edge's annual survey. We've typically done it every 2 years rather than every year, and this would have been our year. But since they've been helping with pulse surveys, we've been using those resources, picking what works for us. And we did a pulse survey in May, we did one in July, and we just did our third one in October. And this one in particular had some additional questions around what sorts of health and wellness or other connectedness priorities do people have and how could we help? So we are starting some, I think it's called JFCS Small Talk, and people picked groups based on things they're interested in. So I'm in one that's like nothing in particular, but there's one I think around like outdoor adventure. There's one that's around like television film. There's one around books, I think. And it's sort of self-manage it, but you want to do it once a month or once every 2 weeks and using Zoom. And that came out of in our all staff meetings, which are about every 2 months, having some breakout sessions where we give some topics just if you want to talk about them, but again, a way to talk to four or five other people who you don't get to see in the hall anymore. You don't get to see in the lunchroom anymore. And this is sort of an extension of that. So it took a while to get organized. It's going to be happening. Certainly the small groups in our all staff meetings are the most popular part of the all staff meeting. So if this can extend that, we're hopeful. You know, we're a place where weather is a big factor, and we did quite a bit of outdoor gathering in the summer in small groups and individually. We're supposed to get our second big, we had an early snowfall and then thankfully it went away and now we're getting more snow today probably, but that changes that dynamic. Yeah. And the other thing is we're trying to raise the profile of EAPs. We have two. We have one that's for any employee, whether they're on the medical plan or not, and the other is through the medical plan. And we're too small to get utilization reports from our EAPs. We wanted to find out, but they won't provide that information to us for, you know, confidentiality reasons at our size. But we had our open enrollment presentation as part of our all staff this morning with our benefits broker and medical and so on. And we tried to highlight the EAP. And staff have indicated in the survey they want to use the EAP. So we're just continuing to promote it, but we don't really have a way of knowing if they're using it or not. So those are a few things. And then we have a group that's going to, we normally have a holiday party, which I imagine others have as well. It's normally at the building and we usually have good participation. And so we've got a group of five or six volunteers who are going to talk about whether we do one or more things. Do we send things to people's homes? That idea actually came from one of these affinity groups. Some of you, I think, have been doing that, whether it's, you know, gift cards or little sweets or something. And so we're trying those kinds.
Yeah.
So nothing new under the sun, right? Like, nobody's that smart. We're all trying to do the same stuff. In Detroit, we actually have all staff meetings every week. They're only a half hour. And we try to mix in. So we do a Devar Torah every week, which doesn't necessarily have to be about the Torah. So we're trying to rename it because it's not really a Devar Torah. It's more like a welcome sermon, sure. And then we do some stories about this client was helped or that client was helped. And I think that really grounds people in like why we're doing what we're doing. So we're sitting in front of our computers for 10 or 12 hours a day because somebody needs food or shelter or clothing or whatever they need. We also hand delivered, like everybody in the agency got a flower pot with like a planted flower. I wasn't involved. I don't know. Like some people got basil or something. I'm not sure. The staff development committee took care of that, but somebody showed up at my door with a sunflower maybe. We did a drive-in movie as an appreciation event. And then usually we do a holiday party. We haven't figured out exactly what we're going to do, but we did donuts and cider in the parking lot a few weeks ago. So, you know, all the stuff Lee's talking about, I think from my perspective as a non-social worker, it's hard to balance the business of social work with having social workers work at your business. So all of our employees are so tuned into mental health and engagement and interpersonal relationships and. I think sometimes, for me anyway, sometimes we blur the line between what do we as the employer need or want to do versus what does the person need or want to do to attend to his, her, their mental health, right? So like, and again, this is as a non-practitioner, but it's really hard to find that line. Like if people are depressed or anxious or whatever, should we just close down the agency or should we make it really easy to find the EAP and people can go get therapy on their own? Or is it a combination? Like we decided to close the agency between Christmas and New Year's for the first time ever because we recognize that everybody's just burned out and they can't take ETO. We have just one time off policy. It's sick, vacation, personal, it's all one. So in order to get people to turn their phones off and stop looking at their email, we just decided we're going to close because otherwise people take days off and then they end up working the whole time because there's nowhere to go.
That's what the network did too. We decided to close for that week instead of getting the basil or the sunflower or the
sure. Well, we try it all. Mm-hmm. And sometimes like what we did try early on, we did support groups for our employees facilitated by our employees. And we actually stopped doing that because we encountered a really, what's the right word? Delicate circumstance where an employee said something that if they had said it in the hallway or the lunchroom, our reaction would be much different than because they said it in a support group where there's this implication of confidentiality. So we stopped doing that because we realized that we can't facilitate our own support group. And so I think we tried to get hooked up with like New Orleans, we were going to trade, but that never happened.
So
but we did do that in the beginning.
The network could do that. And we've talked about it in the clinical services
right.
affinity group, but it has to come from.
That's right. You know, I just think it never got off the ground. And that's the part where I say, you know, it's hard to find the line because as the employer, are you facilitating a circumstance where there's an either real or implied like attorney client or provider client privilege? It's messy.
Well,
even though none of it's like rocket science, I'd love to hear what other people's ideas are. Cause even if they seem obvious, if we haven't thought of them, I'd sure like to know what you are trying in, or even if you've heard of somebody else trying it.
In Baltimore, we have an employee assistance program, which gives our employees up to 5 visits for each item. And so we have been really trying to encourage staff to contact them, to help them with dealing with all these changes. In our area, we have the private schools that have in-classroom and the public schools that are all virtual. So we have a combined mix of people who are working home with their children and children that are in school. So every couple of weeks, we try some way to weave in our messages from our exec that don't forget that you have this benefit, to just try to remind people, because it is difficult. We don't know what people are going through. And, you know, being out of the office, you don't always hear, and in surveys, depending on how they feel that particular day.
Well, what I like about that, Darlene, is that your CEO is a social worker herself, but mm-hmm. what she's saying is she's, you know, giving people permission and it's okay. And she's reminding people that it's out there. I think that's a really smart move.
So we have also reminded people to take advantage of the EAP and the other kinds of self-care programs that are happening in the community, but where it's at all possible, I'm actually encouraging everyone to take their PTO, because I think being able to step away is really important, and it's probably the single most significant thing that we can do to help people manage all the stresses, just to be able to step away from a screen or their program where they're working in person and just take some time for themselves. And it requires some coordination, because you can't have everybody out at the same time, but we really encourage everyone to take their time off and to take the holidays and that sort of thing.
One of the things that we're doing at JFS in Colorado is at our staff meeting, we have one of our staff who's a certified yoga instructor. She actually has done a few minutes of yoga after the Devara Torah, and we got really good response back from staff. It was just a few minutes, but it was enough, you know, just to kind of put people at peace. And we're going to continue, you know, using that in some fashion going forward, because people were very appreciative, and it didn't, you know, it didn't cause a lot of issues. We're really struggling with COVID. It continues to raise its head. The last 2 weeks, our situations are kind of nonstop. And they all vary, whether it's, you know, someone's in contact with somebody who has COVID or their spouse or whatever it is. And we put in some strict requirements that what we call client facing, they have to have COVID testing every 2 weeks. We've done this since June when we opened up a couple of our areas, and it has really helped control that area for sure. We also require, before anybody can come in, if they're out of state, no matter for what reason, if an employee leaves the state and comes back, or for instance, we just did a hire earlier this week, and they cannot come into the facilities until they've been in the state for at least 10 days. But it puts a lot of pressure on people, and it's concerning. We have a pretty active case right now, most likely. And again, you know, just contacting all the people that individual has been in contact with, no matter how you might keep it quiet, you know, the word kind of spreads and it causes anxiety. We also have a limited EAP, and doing the same thing that, you know, we try and continually remind people that it is available. One of the things we've done with our holiday party, generally we have it in December. And this year, what we're going to do is we have monthly staff meetings. And at the November staff meeting, one of the team members for the holiday party you know, announced that we were going to have this, you know, crazy sweater day in December when we have our December staff meeting. And, you know, wear whatever kind of festive wear you want to wear, which you want to show for that particular day. And then we're moving the holiday party to January. We did that in part because we also have a pantry where our CEO has opened up the pantry to anybody since COVID. So it's exponentially increased the volume of people coming by for food, which puts a lot of stress on to our pantry staff and some other, and the volunteers. And so we decided we would move it to January when things would, you know, be maybe a little different. And because we have the pantry, what we're setting up is we're going to have these limited bags of goodies. And then people will drive by just like we're doing with the food bank, and staff will come and pick them up. And then they'll pick them up before we have the party. And then the day of the party, we're going to have, our theme is going to be 10 o'clock in the morning, and we're calling it breakfast in bed. And so we're encouraging staff to wear their funny PJs or slippers or whatever they want. And then teams the holiday party team is coming up with, you know, different activities to do. And it was based on, you know, some conversation that you guys were talking about a little earlier of interests of people. But we are also fully aware that people are kind of tired of Teams and Zoom. And so we don't want to, you know, put too much time on that. So we're kind of, you know, what our normal holiday party would be like, from 11:30 to about 4. It's what we've done historically. Of course, it's going to be definitely shorter than that. But I think it's going to hopefully be some fun for the staff. And we're kind of just changing ourselves. We're going out of the norm. So we're doing something in January that we otherwise wouldn't do. We're also going to do a kind of a drive for the pantry, because the biggest thing needed are diapers, both for children as well as adults. And then, you know, wipes and those kinds of things. So we're going to have, you know, just requests. We're not going to have a contest with departments or anything. We're just asking staff if they would, you know, help in that particular area. And then they would bring them at the same time that they're doing the, they're coming to pick up their goodie bag. So that's some of the things that we're trying to do to just, you know, talk about what Lee was asking is the staff engagement. But it's pretty challenging for sure for us as well.
Yeah. This is Celeste. I don't think I know any of you. I'm not sure I've made it to a previous call. So nice to meet you. Hello, everybody.
Hey.
I thought there would be like 60 people on here, so this is a more intimate.
From your mouth to God's ears.
Every small group is a gift.
A lovely sentiment. I like that. You know, staff engagement is such a challenge. We just had at our last all staff meeting. So we're doing all staff meetings twice a month for an hour. You see them once a month for an hour and a half. And the conversation I had with the leadership team is, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty bored. So I'm guessing everybody else is too. How can we fix this, right? So we went to the staff and said, should we have a sort of business meeting every other time? And then every other meeting, we do something else. And they wanted breakout groups. They wanted staff engagement and development opportunities. So we have somebody, I'm sorry, I can't remember who said it, but you know, when you have an organization full of people who are professional carers, you've got people who are really tuned in to how everybody's feeling and what's going on. And so we really want to support them in the challenges that they're facing, and also that they're taking on emotionally from the clients who are struggling. And that feels like a real burden, I think, to a lot of our staff, is the people that they can't help or can't help in the way that they're used to. Our older adult team is used to going into people's homes and engaging with them in a deep and meaningful way. And Now they're talking on the phone or sitting outside on the front porch, socially distanced. So one of the things we're doing, and I think a couple of you have mentioned this, is really asking staff what would be helpful to them in the time that we take up on Zoom. I mean, this is, it's so tedious to have to make Zoom calls. Everybody who emails me, I've started asking them if they would just pick up the phone and call me, because, oh my God, the emails back and forth are excruciating, right?
Yeah.
So one of the things we did in the summer for staff recognition is we had a local bakery put together little cookie bags, a local popcorn company put together popcorn bags. We made mugs that say JFS Hero on them. And what was the other thing? I feel like we put one other thing in there and I can't remember what it is now. And our leadership team hand delivered these little goodie bags to all of our staff. We left them mostly in nice little bags. They were all packaged really sweetly. Staff loved that. They felt really well cared for, and something we were able to do. I don't know how you guys are dealing with work at home. I'd be curious to hear that too. But what we did is found a way to put together for any of our full-time staff, $250 that they can spend however they want at Staples Advantage. Because Staples does our office supplies, we made this benefit available since we have a required work at home environment. We set it up with Staples so that everybody has their own account where they can spend that $250 and items are delivered directly to their home. And we told people if somebody wants to buy a Keurig coffee maker, I don't care. If somebody wants to buy, crayons for their kids, we're not monitoring their purchases. We know people have already spent a lot of money to get themselves set up at home, and we just wanted to try to give them some support. That seems to be really appreciated. It's not an inexpensive option. But I mean, like you, even though we're doing staff recognition, even though we're trying to reduce Zoom calls to, absolutely no longer than they need to be, in our all staff meetings, we're doing lots of breakouts where they just get what's your favorite thing that you binged watch, just as a conversation starter. So that's kind of been something they really enjoy. We have offered a free of charge mindfulness course, optional absolutely, for people who want it. So an outside provider came in. We've done stretch yoga in our all staff meetings, and we end with an optional mindfulness meditation. It's usually about 5 minutes because we run out of time. So we're trying, like all of you, we're sort of trying everything we can.
As you were talking, I had some interesting ideas. One is you guys could do a bingo game, and you know about different aspects of people's lives, and you could send out the bingo, all sorts of different bingo cards, and whatever has three siblings or has a dog named Boo or whatever, and you could play that game. That could be a lot of fun. I think I'm just thinking what you could do at these parties that could engage people. And then the other thing I was going to say is I used to do this when I worked as the ED, and when I was in that program at Columbia, I had everyone do it there too, and it was giving awards, for people for their individual accomplishments. And the way that you give them out is this goes to the person who is always thinking about, creative ways to make the agency sing. Maybe you've come up with songs or whatever, and then there's a award for the best singer of 2020 or something, 2020, just so that people get engaged. Or you could have the staff draw a name or somehow, assign people names and they have to do it. They get involved and give an award to someone. Just a thought.
Yeah, I would also really be interested to hear how you guys are handling orientation. We have new staff members who are at such a disadvantage because we're like a family, and then you've got these some temps and some new staff. So they don't have any three-dimensional sense of who the other staff are. And my God, there is nothing more boring than a one-on-one Zoom orientation. Here, I'm going to show you now our Excel spreadsheet of our holidays. Like, it is painful for me to conduct it even.
Yeah. So Jen asked a question about our work from home stipend.
Yeah.
So we decided $50 one time, probably back in April. But we have been talking about whether or not it's time to go back to that trough. We were a little bit lucky that we were already planning to replace everybody's computer in the agency with a laptop. So all of our employees have company laptops. Many have company cell phones. And we also, like Lee, allowed people to take not just their chairs, but their monitors, like anything they had in their office that they felt would make them more productive. And sorry for the noise in the background. They could just take that stuff, which hopefully everyone brings it back. I have not that much concern about it, because if you show up in a year when we're allowed to go back to the office and you're like, hey, I need a new chair because mine's missing, well, we'll just bring it from home then. And I think the other item, you know, Lee talked about a printer in particular, is that there are very few of our employees who actually need to print. Like, when it really comes down to it, many of us never have to step foot in the office. Like, I personally go to the office once every few weeks because I'm one of a few check signers. And yes, we still have some paper checks. Not everything is ACH and wire. But I think most people don't need printers and scanners. And if they need those, I think, you know, we talked about having a designated go-to person. So on a particular team, there's one person who's going to do all the printing and scanning. We have one admin who's been in the office every day for 2 or 3 hours just to get the mail and then scan it to people. But now that case counts are rising, and especially here in the Midwest, we've been talking about potentially going to, like, nobody's allowed to go to the office and figuring out, should we forward the mail somewhere? I think we've been hesitant to, like, mandate that you cannot go. But we've been trying to encourage people that you better have a darn good reason to go.
So what about situations where you can't run your programs virtually? Because we have employees that have to do their jobs in person. You know, we have participants on waiver programs that you can't just change the services that we're offering. We have our clubhouse, which you really can't do virtually. And I'm wondering, for agencies that have programs like that, that have to operate in person, what are you doing to support your employees there?
We have a food pantry, and that staff is critical. They can't not be there. We practice social distancing. We use personal protective equipment. We've been able to get great pricing through the network connections. That's been a real blessing. And we just started doing in-house COVID-19 saliva testing. There's a local lab here. We have divided up staff into different cohorts. So they come to we have two locations. So there's some that go to one location on one day, and we switch that up. They come in, they're self-administered tests. The swabs go in the test tubes, a courier picks them up, and we get the results within 24 hours. So that is also just making sure that we're protecting everybody.
And how did you set that up with that lab? Because I'd be very interested in doing something like that here, and I haven't really found the right resource for us.
Yeah, you know, I didn't do any of the, I'm managing the process. I didn't do any of the initial research. Should I put their contact information in the chat? And I don't know where they work.
I know Jessa did something too, right?
Jess, yeah, we have something similar. Everything Celeste has said, we do the same, because we have nurses and caregivers who are out in the community. And we have done testing a couple different ways. Our county, we're in Montgomery County in Maryland, and our county has offered it for free to employees and residents of the county. And then they started that over the summer, probably in July or so. They ran into a hiccup and they ended up shutting down for a little bit. So we were using a private lab at that point that's in Baltimore. And then once the county kind of got situated with that, we went back to the county. So I would almost suggest within the state, or I see you're in Pittsburgh, maybe Pittsburgh offers some of that COVID testing. I think it's become a lot more prevalent these days for staff, and they can do it free of charge. I know health insurance is supposed to cover it, but I think it's challenging when it's asymptomatic and it's on a routine basis. For us, we do COVID testing weekly. So I think at some point there's a level of exhaustion from health insurance. And I think we would end up seeing it in our premium increase, which defeats the purpose as well.
Yeah, that's very helpful, because I spoke with our regional health collaborative, and basically what they said to me was, if you're not a long-term care facility, and while the positivity rate is below 5%, they're not really recommending testing for a facility like ours, but I would like to be out ahead of it if I could. So that's very helpful.
Any great suggestions on how to do orientation via Zoom that's not just tedious?
So we've done, and I switched to the phone, sorry. We've done one-on-one. So any new employee meets with probably, you know, in addition to his, her, their supervisor, direct reports, blah, 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 meets with the entire executive team one-on-one, and then meets with a few other key, what I'll call stakeholders. So like the director of quality improvement, who touches the whole agency, director of HR, who touches the whole agency, director of IT, who touches the whole agency. But it's hard, right? Like, I was in the office today to sign checks, and, you know, I bumped into somebody who has been with the organization for like 5 months. And that's the, I think, second time I've seen that person. And our donuts and cider that we did in the parking lot a few months back, it was like, do I just not recognize that person because they haven't gotten a haircut? Or is this a human I've never seen in my life because they're new to the agency? It was like really hard, especially with masks. It's like, I feel like I'm being rude because I'm not saying hello to that person, but it's because I don't know that person.
Yeah. And just think about that person, how alone that person must feel, you know, not knowing anything working with.
Absolutely.
You know,
that's right. What a terrible way to start a new job is hard enough.
Yeah.
But Celeste, to your question, like more Zooms and different configurations of Zooms.
Yeah.
But that's sort of all we have. And like Lee, although Lee's getting snow, we're setting our fourth record high in a row. It's gonna be like 78 degrees today.
Wow.
It'll be snowing and icy and cold very, very soon.
Oh, I was going to say, there's no way Minneapolis has snow and you don't, or something.
They do today.
Wow.
You're muted.
We had that warm weather. It ended yesterday. We can't just, you know, go from warm weather to decent weather. We got to go right to the snow.
our warm
weather. Hopefully only for a day.
Our warm weather.
In the Midwest, people ask, like, what's your favorite season? And the answer is never fall or spring, because they only last 2 days each. It's 90 degrees and then it's snowing. I think we're going to really have to think about, in the winter, what are we going to do? And I guess people can bundle up and blah, blah, blah. But there's no question that both from an employee engagement standpoint and from a service delivery standpoint, the winter makes it a lot harder where people are not in San Diego or Honolulu.
We've had a lot of staff who've taken the initiative to have team meetings in parks, or, you know, in just places where they can be outside and socially distance, which has been great. It's of course coming to an end, but that was one way that, you know, our caring staff have been able to keep some of that connection. One of the hardest things with Zoom and email is you really lose your sense of the other person's just sort of humanity, you know, the nice things that the little exchanges you have with people in real life, you just running into them, you just never run into anybody anymore. It's a challenge.
I've been talking about the issues with employee orientation too, and wondering what to do. And because we've hired probably half a dozen people since March, And it truly has been challenging for them as well as us with all the stuff you guys have said. You can't recognize them because we're wearing masks or whatever. We still are doing the in-person initial orientation. And we maintain our distance and everything. But one of the things they have to do is get set up with our IT group. And so we kind of start with that. And they get their computer and go through that type of training of how to get on board. And then from the HR standpoint, we step in. We're trying to go do a lot of onboarding online, with particularly with the paperwork. And we've automated our benefits enrollment process. So we send the information out to the individual before they come in for orientation. But interestingly, they still want to sit down and have you go through all of it. And so, but it's a good, it's a nice way to get to know the person. We try and keep it in a 3, maybe 4 hour block. And then what I do is I will contact them about 2 weeks after they start. And we either do it by phone or Teams. And I'm just saying, just checking in, you know, how are things going? And, you know, I get some pretty good information. Of course, initially it's still, you know, I'm kind of trying to find the bathrooms, you know, situation. But then if I call them 6 or 8 weeks later, then it's more seasoned. And then they're more open about challenges maybe they have or thoughts they have. And it's really helped us just get a sense of different people in how they view things and you know, what's important to them or what we're not providing to them. And the other thing I'm thinking about doing is setting up kind of a buddy system. I'm not sure that's what I'll call it, but it's more, instead of just the employee dealing with the manager, also have a partner who will help them. You know, sometimes people don't want to go to the manager because they say, I know I'm new here, but I was told how to do this and I don't want to tell the manager I don't remember how. Whereas like a mentor? With someone else, they may be more comfortable doing that. And it may not just be in the same department. So I'm going to explore that. I've talked to our CEO about that. She thinks it's, you know, it's a good idea, again, to help people acclimate. Not only because of COVID, but just in general, just to have, you know, somebody kind of shadow, you know, they can shadow with them or partner with them or something like that. So that's what we're also looking at doing. And it seems to work okay.
I like that idea. I think that's a great idea. People probably feel connected, you know, someone's looking out for them. You know, someone who has a little bit more experience. I mean, we do that with new execs at the network. I don't know if Nancy, when you were a new exec, if you had a sort of a buddy or a mentor or whatever we called them, but I think it does help. Yeah.
I think there were lots of people in the community that I met, and I mean, people really open and generous in terms of providing me with resources. So it wasn't one person, but lots of people. Mm.
So what about you, Amaris or Loraz? Did you have anything?
I put mine in the chat. So we're also doing
about anything. It doesn't have to be about this, but whatever.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We're doing our new hire orientation also on Zoom. It's significantly shorter than it's been before. So it's about 15, 20 minutes. I share my screen, go over a couple of things in a bridge version, let them read on their own. But during our interview process, they have 2 levels of interviews and they meet a lot of people that way. And then of course, we rely a lot on our department heads and supervisors to do department meetings and introduce them to the team and set them up with someone to shadow. Typically, most people have the same job, whether it's a therapist and they're partnered with another therapist or a career coach and they're partnered with another career coach. So they sort of have a buddy without there being a formal system. So that's really worked well for us. In terms of some gifts that we've given out, we did give like an assortment of chocolate covered treats. We gave a hook for people to put on their key ring to help you open up doors without touching them. We did flu shots most recently. And any staff that wanted to come, our clients that are in our ALU homes, They showed up to get flu shots, so we saw a lot of staff there. We are looking for more ways to engage staff. The staff meetings where we've tried to make it interactive, we had a magician and we had someone do yoga, and that wasn't all well received by the staff. They much rather would have had like an hour of free time. So most recently our
Can't win them all.
Right.
Doesn't that bug me? Like, so much work and time and thought goes into that.
Yes.
And that bugs me. Like, even if you don't like the magician, just pretend to like the magician. Like, oh, where'd the coin go? I don't know.
But I think you also need to give people what they actually want and not what you assume they want. And so if what they really want is an extra $10 or another half an hour, but that's what you should give them.
Right. So we heard people. And so our executive director recently gave everyone either a full day or 8 hours to do what you want with that, and work with your supervisor, and you can go to the spa, you can be with your kids or your family, and it's just free time, which is what people ask for. And so we got a day, which is really good.
What's so funny about the network is that we have always been a remote office.
Yeah.
So I, being the newest employee on staff, really have only been in the presence of my coworkers at the annual conferences that were canceled. and so the other day, I'm just putting this out there because it was a real feel-good moment. The CEO and Lisa Gatto off the call, and the rest of us were kind of hanging on just on the Zoom call doing our own work, but it was kind of like that office, we're in the cubbies kind of feeling. We were chatting, we were working, but we felt together even though we were clearly not together. And that was a very feel-good camaraderie type moment for us. We said the three of us were going to do that again, just kind of schedule, touch bases amongst the three of us for no reason.
So I have a question because I'm HR and I'm also risk management. We don't want our staff in the office. And I hear people talking about doing staff and one-on-one, and I'm like cringing and thinking, oh my gosh, you know, we have staff that have to come in accounting, finance, payroll. We have a couple people who have requested they want to be in the office. And we take their well-being very seriously. Our kitchens are all closed, all the water fountains, everything. So whatever you're going to eat or drink, you have to bring in. How many people? I mean, we may have at the most 10 people. Now we've got a total of about 140 office-based staff and about another 125 staff direct care, and they can't even get in the building. The only thing that they can get into is the first door to leave timesheets and whatever. So their access, we shut everybody's access off. So I'm just wondering, like, how many people are you having come into the office? Because we did have
we've got positive,
and it was a lot of work, a lot of work. We actually closed down for a week because we had to bring a company in to come and clean, and everybody had to get tested. I mean, fortunately, nobody, you know, was turned positive, but I can tell you it was a lot of work. So
we only, I would say max, we're at like 12 or 14 people, and we've got 30,000 square feet. So 12 or 14 people is, there's plenty of room.
Good.
And we actually had a positive case. We contact traced. Two people had been in close contact, meaning 6 or fewer feet for 15 or more minutes. Those people were notified. And then we notified the entire staff, like, hey, just so you're aware, somebody was positive. We contacted the people who were in contact with this person, and we'll keep you posted. And fortunately, nobody else got sick. But we're lucky, and this probably depends a lot on geography too. You know, we're in a sprawling suburb of Detroit where we have lots and lots of space. Maybe people who are in more urban areas don't have these giant offices.
So we don't have a giant office, but we went to a sort of staggered schedule where we had the A team and the B team, and we had people coming in on alternate days, and we were able to spread out that way. So that also worked for us. And I mean, as the executive director, I took 3 days a week so that I would get to see everybody at least once a week. So that worked for us.
We have a protocol because we have the food bank. Even though the building is locked, there's still volunteers and staff who come in, and then we have some admin staff that comes in. But everybody has to do the temperature check. And then we have, for the few that are there, and we limit it to 10 people on a side, and each of our two sides are pretty huge in size, so people are separated. And frankly, you don't even see people on the other side when you show up. But we also set it up a long time ago, you know, the chain of command that you have to follow going into the building, and people still use that. You know, you can only go in certain ways, you can only come out certain ways. We don't serve food. And we, you know, we don't have any of that kind of exposure. We do limit it, but we are open. We have, again, for client-facing staff, it's a mandatory every 2 weeks for COVID testing. If someone comes in that's not part of a client-facing staff and they have symptoms, then we always tell them to go to their medical provider first. But we have two different groups that we've contracted with to do the testing. And what just for us, it's interesting that one of our groups started the saliva testing last week. And so we were excited about that because the staff who have to do the nasal, they say it's quite uncomfortable. But we ended up, the two individuals that got the saliva test both came back positive. And their circumstances were very different. And one was out of state. And so we were concerned about that. But again, because she was quarantined for 10 days. But nevertheless, the group that provides these also set the protocol that initially, if you test positive for the saliva, you have to do a nasal. So we had both of them go in and do nasal, and those tests came back negative. So we in the meantime, with the group that was tested positive, we immediately contacted, in one case, clients who had been exposed.
Yeah.
And then with the other one, we were okay because she hadn't been around. But after this meeting, the CEO and I are meeting with that one organization to really see if we want to even do saliva at this point. The other company that gives us the testing, they don't do saliva yet because they said it's just not, it's
reliable.
Just not, so we're back and we're probably going to back off on that. So I just tell you that, just be aware, because it caused a lot of anxiety.
Yeah.
You know, and then it came out negative, and yet we had to notify all these clients, and
right.
Some of the clients are wondering what we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
So it's just very challenging.
Gotcha.
So we have about 10 people who are probably in our office regularly between our receptionists and some other staff that need to be there or don't have the ability for some reason to work from home, even though we've given everyone laptops and all of that. And one of the things that we are putting into place probably later this week is an attestation for anyone who's coming to the office for any reason. It's really an attestation for the absence of symptoms, because we don't want to collect, obviously, any health information. So people are attesting that they don't have a fever, that they don't have other symptoms associated with COVID. And that they haven't been in the presence of somebody who has been COVID positive for the 15-minute time frame and all of that. There's another piece that applies to our field staff who really are with COVID positive patients or who are going to be exposed more regularly. But it's sort of a risk management piece for us, and then also can be a contract tracing piece for us to go back to know which building did they go to for us, and where were they located, you know, which floor and all of that, so we can kind of aggregate that information and know who's been in the office. We're doing it, we use Microsoft Teams almost exclusively, and so we're just using this as one of the forms within the in that, so it's not, there's it's nothing too high tech, but basically dumps it into an Excel spreadsheet that we can sort and filter and have access to. We also request that people who are going into the office give their managers a heads up, so we have a sense of what that's going to look like on a regular basis, just to eliminate too many people in there at any given point in time.
We do the same. People have to notify their supervisor and ask them questions about symptoms and exposure and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And so, sorry, we only have 2 minutes left. I got to get my commercial in for the 2021 NJHSA virtual conference. So that's April 20th through April 23rd. Mark your calendars. A lot more information will be coming out about that. It's going to be virtual, of course. And the network
creative staff workshops really about what you're doing, you know, human resources, like the orientation. Yeah. If it's something that you think other people could benefit from, we want to hear about it. We need to hear about it. So sorry, that's Jeff, right. I wanted to give that plug.
No, that's what I was just going to say. Like, I think it will be virtual, and the NJHSA staff has worked really hard to try to figure out innovative ways to bring a conference that is usually 3 or 4 days where we can eat bagels and lox and do whatever we do to our computers. So I'm excited about that.
Are the bagels and lox going to come to our homes and then we eat them while we're on the call?
Yes, we're going to ship them all over the place.
Excellent.
Luckily,
maybe shipping something.
Unlike the COVID vaccine, the cream cheese doesn't have to be 90 degrees below zero. So it's easier to send that stuff around the country.
Yeah. Well,
this year I might be able to actually attend then.
Terrific. Yeah. We hope you are. It'll be, you can attend from your screen, you know, your bedroom. I hope not your bedroom.
Exactly.
So, well, if you want to, it's fine with us.
Right.
So, I'm glad you all were here. I'm going to see what we can do to get more people to attend, but I do think that, you know, it's a good conversation. Everyone can participate, and that's really nice too. So,
thank you, everyone, and stay safe.
Yes.
Thanks. Good seeing you guys.
Happy
Talk to you Thanksgiving. Soon. Happy holidays.
Oh, right.
Bye.
Yes, thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Okay. All right. Bye guys.
Bye.